Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
Thank you, Michael. Well, good morning. Just good to be here today. What a beautiful service, isn't it? You can just sense the anointing and the presence of God. I just love it here. Last week was a beautiful service too. I thought to myself, I haven't been in a service with the presence of God like this for quite a while. You know, it's very, very important you be thankful for what you got. I just want to congratulate our musicians too, by the way, and all of those people that come here more Sunday by Sunday, early in the morning to get all set up. You know, I just want you to know I appreciate what you're doing. I know what it's like. I've been there and I've done that, not the muso part, but the early part in halls and things. And I know that for me standing up here, there are a lot of people behind the scenes making it happen. And I want to encourage you, you know, to offer sometimes to help, you know, because sometimes people need a little help at the back there. And I just want you to know that I appreciate everything that's going on. And it's a great privilege for me to be here. Eleanor and I have been in ministry now, I suppose, for 36 years, I think. And so we've graciously, God, I came to this church when it was dedicated. And I just had a hip replacement. And I remember my big problem was to get up that step there. And so now here I am, you know, cut 2 or 3 years later, I'm still standing here. And I just want to give God praise. And so this morning, I've got two things going through my mind. I sense as I was praying, the Lord said, do you want the dependable or do you want the miraculous? And I said, well, what do you mean? What do you mean, Lord? He said, well, you can't have both. You can't have the miraculous and the dependable. You either have the dependable where you plan it all out and you do, you know, what you sort of said you're going to do, or you have the miraculous where you don't know what's going to happen at all. And then I can come in and I can make a change in people's lives through you. And so are we going to same old, or do it this way or that way, or are you going to be open? And children of Israel, Pastor Phil was talking about how they got set free last week, and there was an instance in their wanderings where they got very upset and very discontented and they started to murmur and complain, and not like anybody here, of course. But the thing is, and then what happened was a lot of snakes got in amongst them and they started to die. And anyway, Moses, the leader, went and asked God what he should do. And he said, I want you to make a brazen serpent and I want you to put it on a pole. And whoever looks at that snake on the pole would be healed. And those that did look were healed. Those that didn't died. And later on in the New Testament, Matthew or John brings the same thing out. And he said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So there was this thing of the snake being actually put up on the pole, and then Jesus was likened to that snake, that whoever looks to him, and in the Old Testament days, those people were dying, and they didn't have much time to live, and they said, look, all we've got to do, try and get him out into the, get him out into the square, and lift his head up, grab his hair, and hold his head back, and say, now look. And the moment he opened his eyes, just about ready to go, and he saw that snake on the pole, all of a sudden divine health and strength started to flow into his body, and there was a supernatural touch of God, because God was behind that thing, and that man suddenly came alive again, and he was right. Now, that same power that is in that snake on the pole many, many years before, God said, now it's going to be in my Son. Now, depending on where we're looking and depending on what we're believing for, but the Bible says that surely he carried our sin and he carried our sickness, and by his stripes we are healed.
And so therefore there is a look, and there is a look of faith, and there is a look of scorn, and there is a look of distaste, or there is a look of faith that Jesus Christ, who's alive, can make a difference in your life and my life. And he says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll be there for you all the time. But he said, I want you to look. I want you to get your attention. I want you to start to looking to me to be your provider, to be your guide, to be your leader. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost to you so that you might have power in your life to achieve what I want you to be here for. Miles Monroe from the Bahamas, he made a beautiful comment. He said, you're only alive today because God has got things for you to do. God has brought you into this life for a mission, and when it's finished, you go home. Just like that. Our life is not in our hands. When we commit our life to God, okay, he has a plan and a purpose for us, and he wants to communicate to us. But most of all, he wants to direct our attention to Jesus Christ. We touched on it in communion, but you see, everything that you get from now until you get into heaven is all through Jesus Christ. You are not Jewish. I don't think you are. And so therefore you've got no claim to fame. The Jewish people have certain privileges that God gave to them, but I'm not Jewish. And so I am by grace, are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so therefore, my standing before Almighty God is all because of Jesus. And that makes all of us in this room all together, and we're all equal. God has got no favorites. He's got different ways that he uses us. That's all there is about it. And because of the blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary, the Bible says that he that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, that we might be made acceptable. Do I do anything about it? Only thing I do is accept Christ and what he's done for me, and I look again to that to Christ upon the cross, and I no longer see my sin. I see his righteousness being imparted to me so that I can stand before God without doubt, fear, or unbelief or condemnation. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. It's all about Jesus, brothers and sisters. It's all about him. It's not about a denomination. It's not about church. It's about a relationship with a person who is alive, who's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and has sent the precious Holy Spirit to come into us, to give us power and insight, and to be able to tap in to the things of God that he wants us to do, that he wants you to do. All of us, no matter who we are here this morning, all of us, no matter who we are, we all stand on a level footing today because of Jesus. Some people might be further along the track. Some people might be catching up. But that doesn't matter, because God's got a plan for you. God's no respecter of persons. He loves each person in this room, and he's got a plan and a purpose for you. And today, I just want us to think again of Christ again upon the cross. I know he's not there now. He's risen triumphantly. He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Hallelujah. And he's coming back again. But just for a moment, we need to realize that he carried our sin and our sickness. And by his stripes, I am healed. Little testimony. I was working with sheep, and I had a problem with my back. Give us a hand. Give us a wave, anybody has any problems with their back. Give us a wave, okay? That's right, yeah, okay. Had a problem with my back. And I went to a chiropractor, and he said, if you don't give away what you're doing, you're going to end up in a wheelchair. And he said, I want you to go to Geelong and see this particular chiropractor. I've been to chiropractors since, and I know chiropractors, and they do a great job. This is not... But as I was driving down, this voice spoke into my heart. Go and see Pastor Alan Murrells and get him to pray for you. My first reaction was, I don't know him. I knew, I've heard of him, because you're a CRC pastor down there in Geelong. And go and see Pastor Murrells. But I'm going to the chiropractor. Go and see Pastor Murrells and he'll pray for your back. And so I eventually worked out where he lived in Francis Street, and I rocked up there and I said, look, Pastor Allen, you don't know me, but I just felt in God to come today and ask you to pray for me. He said, what's your problem, Roy? I said, I've got this back problem, see, and it aches and pain, and I can't. He said, well, look, come in. And the first thing he did, he opened God's Word. And he said, Roy, I want you to read this. What does it say? I said, surely he carried our sin and our sickness, and by his stripes you were healed. What did it say? Were healed. Not will be healed, but were healed. So Roy, I'm going to anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord, because the Bible says that they shall anoint them with oil, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I'm going to do that, but I don't want you to look forward to getting healed. I said, what do you mean? Well, he said, because by his stripes you were healed, because when I pray for you in Jesus' name, the power of God is going to hit you whether you feel it or not. God answers prayer, and there's going to become a change in your back, in your situation. I said, all right. So I don't want you to look forward to getting healed. I want you to thank the Lord that you are healed and walk in your healing. And I was knocking, I was doing door knocking at that particular time, and I was having some problems. And so I just kept walking. I walked up the street and knocking on doors and thank you, Lord, for my healing. And it was still here. Thank you, Lord, for my healing. Thank you, Lord, for my healing. And I got involved in the work. 3 years, 3 weeks later, I'm walking up the street and I'm thinking, hey, I've got no pain in my back. When did that go? I just walked out of sickness into health. I just walked out of sickness into health. Why? Because I was looking forward to something. I was thanking God for what he'd already given to me. You see, sometimes we've got to thank the Lord for what we've got rather than to keep asking. We thank you, Lord. You hear my prayer. I thank you. I can't see it. I don't know how it's going to come about, but I believe your word, and your word is settled in heaven, and you stand behind your word to perform it. And so therefore, if God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. What are we going to believe? See? I mean, people get so excited about the football. Poor old South Australians are not too happy at the moment, but they do, you know. And well, that's what they really believe. And good for them. However, we can get excited about our faith in Jesus Christ. Glory to God. We can get excited about the possibilities that God has for you, because with God all things are possible. If you can believe, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing shall be impossible. We're not living in a world of impossibilities. We're living in a season of possibilities, that God can touch your life. God can change your mind. God can move in your circumstances. God can change the situation that you're in. God can do it supernaturally, just like that. He can open up a door for you, because if God opens a door, no man can close it. See? Okay, who are we looking to? Is it Jesus, or is it circumstances, or is it a lousy boss? Is it a person we can't understand? Well, all of those things God can use to bring us to be the person that we are. Those people that put your hand up, I want you to come down now. I'm going to pray for you, and God's going to touch you. Those people with the back, come on straight down quickly now, and we're going to pray for you. Have we got that oil done? That's right. That's good. That's right. Just stand across here, mate. Now, what I'm going to do... It's nothing to do with what I want to do, but the Bible says that there's an anointing with oil. Now, the oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. And you see, the Holy Spirit is connected to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit always lifts up Jesus. And the Holy Spirit directs our attention again to, surely he carried our sin and our sickness, and by his stripes we are healed. So as we anoint you, you're going to receive healing today. As we put this oil upon you, not that there's anything in the oil, but it's as we release faith towards Jesus, healing is going to be released into our heart and into our mind. Okay? And we're going to go from here saying, thank you, Lord, for your healing power in Jesus' name. Michael, could you just anoint them with oil? And we're just going to pray with them. And just come, just stand in up here. That's right. Now, that's, I want to, now, those of you who's up there that would really want to move in the gift of healing, put your hand up if you want to be used of God. Come out the front and stand behind these people then. Come on down straight away. Okay, Father, we thank you that there are gifts of healing. I thank you this morning, Lord, that look, there are people here that God has given a gift of healing. And that gift of healing needs to be stirred up. We need to stir up the gift that God has placed within us. That's right. I don't know who's here today, but I know Jesus is here. We've been lifting up and exalting Jesus this morning. Amen. And he's here today. So we anoint you with oil, brothers and sisters, in the name of the Lord. Now, I just want you to stand back. Don't lay hands on them at the moment. Just step back a little bit from each one, okay? All right. Now I'm going to come through and I'm going to pray and I'm going to believe there's going to be a release of an anointing. And then once I do that, then you can pray for them from the back and start to encourage. We're going to just agree together. Now let's reach out your hand to these people. They need a miracle, friends. I tell you what, they do need a miracle, and I can understand that. Hallelujah. Father, we just honor you right now. And surely you carried our sin and our sickness. Lord, receive healing right now in Jesus' name. Receive healing right now in Jesus' name. Receive healing right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you from the top of our head right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Just receive healing right now in Jesus' name. Just receive healing right now. Lord, we just thank you. Just receive healing right now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, just receive healing right now. Just release that right now, Father, in Jesus' name. Start to move. In Jesus' name, just release healing right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We just bless you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, just receive healing. Healing right now, in Jesus' name. Abba, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Just receive healing right now. Thank you, Lord. Surely he carried our sin and our sickness, and by his stripes you were healed. Father, we thank you right now. Now let's just give the Lord a thank offering. Let's give him a clap offering. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Just lay your hands from the back now and just release an added portion right now. Just add, that's right, just release that. Father, we thank you right now. You said, pray one for another that you might be healed. And so, Lord, we thank you right now. Lord, we thank you for the gift of healing that's flowing, Lord. Let there be a release of that divine anointing, I pray, in Jesus' name, upon each and every one here, both for those that pray and those that receive. And we just give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bless you, friends. You may be seated. That's good. Go in health and go in strength. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. We're going to be looking at how to hear God's voice. How to hear God's voice. And Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you. You notice he says, call to me and I will, not might, not maybe, but he said, I will answer you. So if we're not hearing, it's not God, perhaps we've got other things on the line. And I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. It's just a little quote. It says, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. And so God can lead us. Not for one single day can I discern my way. But this I surely know. Who gives this day will show the way. So I securely go. And there's a truth in that, I'm sure. You know, once I was young and now I'm old,
But I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. That's my seed there. They're my children, okay, and my wife. And there's your baby Phil there, who's your pastor, okay. And that's the, and that's all the girls there as well. And and so I give God praise for what he's graciously given to us. And I like to pay testimony to my wife here who's read them. You know, I say to her sometimes, I can't remember doing all this sort of stuff, you know, that I did for these grandchildren, running them here, there and everywhere. She said, no, we were never home, that's why. So she did it all. But anyway, I'll put that down. Eh? Hearing God speak to you, 90% of the way God speaks is through the scriptures, you know. And I went into a Jewish temple in Texas recently, and God spoke to my heart. We're going to be looking at Moses, God speaking to him, Samuel, and if we have time, we're going to look at some of those other things. Now, that's a timeline of the Bible, and Pastor Phil, the top arrow there is speaks about you've got Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and then the Israelites in Egypt for 40 years, and we Pastor Phil spoke last week about how God brought them through the Red Sea, and that's the book of Exodus there. And we're going to start with Moses there, and then we're going to go down to the time of King David there, and we're also going to be checking in on God speaking to Samuel. I went to Texas in America to a conference, and the first thing they did, they said, they took us to a Jewish temple. I've never been in a Jewish temple. Anybody been in a Jewish temple? Yeah, well, I hadn't. First time ever. So we get into this Jew, and this is a little prayer chamber in the, attached to the Jewish temple. It's the Shalom Temple in Fort Worth and in Texas. And they said, sit down there and pray. And I'm sitting in this place, and I thought, I flew all the way across the world to sit in a Jewish temple, for goodness sake. What's going on here? What sort of a funny conference is this we're going to? And a voice spoke into my heart, have you got something against the Jews? I said, what do you mean? Have you got something against the Jews? What's wrong with sitting in a Jewish temple? I don't suppose there's anything wrong. What about the Muslims? Have you got something problem with them too? I want you to direct your attention again to the cross. Did Jesus die for the Jews? Yes. Did he die for the Muslim people too? Yes, he did. Well, if you think that they're their enemies, how are you going to pray for them? How are you going to love them? Jesus said, love your enemies, didn't he? Have they got bad agendas? Yes. Are they out to do bad things? Yes. Are Christians sometimes do bad things? Yes. And so God spoke to me by being in a situation that I hadn't particularly wanted. But the aim of the whole temple thing was that they wanted to break down some of our, you know, stereotypes, ideas. But when I think about hearing from God, Jesus laid down 8 qualities that he's developing in you and me. And the more they're developed in our hearts and in our lives, the more likely we are to be tuned in to hear from God. The first one is in Matthew 5, and you can read it. These things are called the Beatitudes. And blessed are the poor in spirit, and that is having a humility of mind. They said Moses was the meekest of men. And I'm working with perhaps one of the leaders of our denomination of our fellowship, or has been in times past, and I'm constantly amazed how humble this guy is. And yet he's achieved so many things. It's such a different thing. Blessed are those who mourn. That's sensitivity to the needs of others. I really do need to be more sensitive to others. And then blessed are the meek. That's having a submissive, teachable spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, and that's a passion for God. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, that is having a forgiving attitude. Blessed are the pure in heart, that's free from impurity. Blessed are the peacemakers. Those are people that having a reconciling attitude. We can pour petrol on a fire or we could make peace. Blessed are the persecuted, those that have an unwillingness to compromise. Principles of hearing God's voice more clearly. 90% of God's will is revealed in the scriptures. Now all the above principles that we've just spoke of were operative in the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As the principles are developed in us, so we're going to hear God's voice more clearly. Revelation may come to us by a sudden insight, or there might be a gradual unfolding of God's purposes and plans for our life. But it comes from a daily interaction with God's word. But there are some events in your life, I call them the big events, that's when God seems to break through our patterns and all the rest of it, and he speaks to us in a very clear voice. Sometimes it's a strong impression of the heart. Sometimes it might be a word, or God could even quicken. For instance, should I marry or who should I marry? Should I live here or go there? What course or career path should I take? What would God have me to do? Once I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I was brought up in a Christian home, in an orphanage and all of that, and the people there taught me, and I guess I spent most of my life, really, one way or another, in a church. I didn't know God, but I knew religion at the time, and I praise God for the faithful people that spoke into my life, but for me, personally, when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and God, and I started to speak in a new tongue, it was almost as if God realized that I didn't have very much at all, and so he started to pour his Spirit out upon me, and what I did, I found I could do certain things that I wouldn't have thought I would have been able to do, and at the end of the day, I said, how did that happen? I went to a church in Queensland, and I'd stand up to speak, and I'd be just amazed. Where did that come from? It was the anointing of the Holy Spirit. See, it wasn't about Roy Brake. It was about Jesus wanting to bless his people, like we've seen today, as they came out for prayer. What Jesus wanted to bless those people. Jesus wanted to heal those people. But you see, we've got to have a step of faith. We've got to show, yes, Lord, I want to get healed. But it's not enough to say, yes, Lord, I want to get out of my seat. I'm going to walk down there and I'm going to stand out the front. Why? Because I believe God's a healer and I believe God can make a difference in my life, and I'm going to stand there and I'm going to receive something from God today. And people would get healed like they got healed today. I got no doubt about it. People got healed today. There's no doubt about that. Speaking to myself in my own personal experience, I was in an orphanage in Cheltenham, not very far, just down here where Southland is. It's underneath some of that Southland complex. There was a Methodist orphanage just up the road there, and I was sitting in a hall, kid of 12 from England, and a voice spoke into my heart and said, Roy, one day you're going to be a minister. Just like that. One day you're going to be a minister. Clear as a bell. Never forgot it. Still remember it. Okay, very, very clearly. So one thing that when God can speak to you, don't ever, ever knock your children if they tell you, God said to me, I'm going to do this. Sweetheart, if it's God, it'll come to pass. God bless you. Because God, they say most of the missionaries on the field, God has called them to mission field before they're 12 years old. Never, never knock it. If a child says to you that God spoke to me, and so at 12 years old, that was exactly what actually happened there. Then an opportunity came for me to go to Cairns, and I got a letter asking me to go into ministry up there, but I was really too busy. I never even looked at the letter. And my wife said to me, Roy, Yeah, God has called you into the ministry. Here's a letter that is offering you a position in Cairns in North Queensland, and you're too busy taking stupid photos to even read that letter. How thick can you get? She never said that. I did. Okay. So we did. We went to Cairns. And we're up there for, I don't know, was it 5 years? 6 years we were there. And I was just walking down the creek.
It's not working.
One, two. I was walking down the creek and I was just praying, and Holy Spirit said, resign from the church. I'm going to take you to further training. And so I did. I resigned, and I was sure, absolutely sure. I'm not a betting man. I don't believe in betting, but I would have really, really guaranteed that this was God speaking to me. I suppose I wanted to go to this place, you see. And so I thought, well, you know, that must be it. I don't know. I didn't reason it. But the door shut, and I was totally confused. Sometimes we can want things so much that we can think, well, it's God. But you see, God knows best, and he shuts a door that he might open another door. Okay? So a shut door is not the end of it. A shut door really is only a stop so that you can wait, turn around, and take and open the other door. And that's exactly what happened. And we ended up going down to we ended up going down to Adelaide, and I worked in a large church there, and I was looking after a new Christian, and I went down and I'm just going out to open the car door, and a voice spoke very, very clearly, "I've opened up the south for you. Go in and possess the land." And I turned around. I thought there was somebody there. It was such an audible voice. But this is a pivotal turning point in my life. You understand? God does not just go calling out and speaking to you. Why? Because the just shall live by faith. We read God's word and we're faithful, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as some is. Okay, in other words, so we come to church regularly and we fellowship and we worship God. Okay, we don't have to have a word from God. He's already told us about that. But when it comes to specific things, pivotal things, changing points in your life that's going to affect, God will break through, and he can talk to you and call you and give you directions. And it was such a clear thing, and it took 2 years. That's an interesting thing. An audible voice, and yet it took 2 years to come to pass. The sad thing was that the church that we were going to go to, the pastor was building it, and he's still building this building, see? And the place wasn't even lock-up stage. And he felt that he had to finish the building. And yet the Spirit of God was saying, resign and move. And he said, no, I've got to finish the building. And in that 6 months or whatever, 12-month period, sad things happened in his family. Had he listened in the first place and had he was obedient and moved, there would have been a whole different thing has happened within his life. And I was ready to move right then. And so it took two years before that actually came to pass. God opened a door for us to be involved in church planting, and we went down. They wanted to plant a church in Ballarat, the leadership of our media, of our movement, and we were asked, I volunteered to plant this church because that was my role. I was church planting coordinator from Mildura to Portland at that time. And I said, Lord, how do you want me to plant this church? You know, because we were living in Horsham. And I prayed about it. And this unusual thought came into my mind, put a tent up. Oh, where put a tent up? Put a tent up in the showgrounds. Oh. So I thought, well, I thought I might have been a run backwards and forwards from Horsham to Ballarat, you see, and I thought I'd do it what is called suburban, but I couldn't. That means we're going to have to shift. So I said, sweetheart, I think we're going to have to move. What again? Not really. So we had to move down to Ballarat. We rented a house there and we got a We were able to get onto a tent, put it up in the showgrounds, connected it, and the Horsham Church was very good. They said, listen, Roy, we'll pay your wages for 3 months until you get on your feet down there in Ballarat, but we're not going to pay for the tent and we're not going to pay for the showgrounds, the power and all that. You're going to have to believe God for that. So that was one church. And we had meetings for a whole month. That was the way it was. And then as I prayed, there were certain churches that came on my heart that had shut down. There was a church in Coria, there was a church in Bacchus Marsh, there was a church in Colac, and for one reason or another, the pastor died, the marriage had broken down or whatever, but they closed these churches, and the Lord spoke into my heart and said, Roy, I want you to go and restart those churches. And so we'd go out, and I'd just do it in faith. And I can remember driving down to Colac in a cold 70 k's. We're driving down there and I said, oh, I don't suppose there'll be anybody there tonight. And she said, what are you talking about? Are you believing God or not? What sort of nonsense is that to say? Here you are, you're driving down to plant a church and you're already confessing there's not going to be anybody there. What sort of a person's that? Come on, where's your faith? You know, I was, oh, well, I'm sorry. Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah, that's right. So we got there and there wasn't anybody there either, and there was not a soul about. So I put the chairs around the heater and I was, well, we'll have a prayer meeting anyway. So we prayed and anyway, then I'm deep in prayer and I heard this voice. Funniest sort of meeting I've ever seen. And I had a look and there's a couple of people there. And we'd just come to the meeting. And I said, oh, hello, good, come in. And now they're the pastor down there and they've also started a church at Apollo Bay and they've also now picked up Camperdown, which is another church, you know. And see, sometimes you don't think you'd do anything, but you're being faithful, standing in your place, doing what God wants you to do, that opens a whole new realm of what God can do. And at this particular time, the Lord challenged my heart, can you believe for 100 churches? And I got sick and had to come home and I felt, you know, it's one of the things that's been a disappointment in my heart, really. God, I believe for 100 churches. I only saw, I don't know, I'm not going to say how many, but only just 10% of that. And then I get an email about 3 months ago. And it's from Pastor Malcolm McLeod, who's down at Werribee, Southwest. And he said, Roy, he said, I've just been to India with Joshy Choco, and I've been, and he's doing church planting all over India. And while I was there, God spoke to me so clearly. And he said, I want you to plant 100 churches in Australia in the next 5 years, and I want you to plant 300 churches overseas. Wow. Really? And he said, I want you to help me. And I thought, well, goodness me, I'm 72 now. You know, what am I going to do? And I don't have to think about that, see. I don't have to think about what I'm going to do. What I have to think about is, am I willing to do it? You understand? That's the difference. Because if I'm willing to do it, God will make a way. Hallelujah. You see, God can change circumstances, situations, and, you know, he'll give me a team of young people and I'll train them, and God will, anyway, that's God's business. So there you are. I went to cross to America, to Texas, and now I'm going back again in November to finish this particular course. How are you going to plant 100 churches? I don't know. But the Bible says steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. How are you going to do your thing that you think's too big for you? How are you going to see things accomplished in your life that in your heart of hearts you want to see it, you know? And you think, well, I can't see how we're going to do it. I don't know. All I know that it's there because God's put it there. It doesn't move. How are you going to do it? One step at a time. They said, thy word is a light to my path and a lamp to my feet. A step is about a meter. So there's enough light to see a meter along the road. The word is a lamp, not a spotlight. so I'll walk in the light I have and leave the rest to God. Walk in the light I have and leave the rest to God. Because I don't know how it's all going to work out. All I want to know is, Lord, I want to walk one step at a time, you see. And that's how it is. If we want to do everything at once, we can't do it. But if we're prepared to walk one step at a time and let the Lord unravel it, and that's exactly what it's going to be. That was an amazing thing. That's in the front of that Jewish temple. See that big box there? See that strange-looking symbol there? Do you see that thing that's hanging down from the roof? That's a lamp. And the box, it's a type of the Ark of the Covenant. And in that box is the Torah, the scrolls in the Jewish setup. But that symbolism is actually a burning bush. Can you see it? You see the burning bush there? I asked the rabbi, I said, hey, what's that? He said, I don't know. I thought, that's a bit unusual, I thought. And so when I got home, I had a look at it and I thought, hey, that's what that's all about. That's the burning bush. Because Moses had an experience with God at the burning bush. Let's have a look. That was inside what the Jews call the Torah. That's the scrolls. And there he was. He showed us those things and he unrolled them. But the burning bush. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. This was before last week's, with Pastor Phil shared about, and here he is, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I'll now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. You know, when God turns up, it doesn't matter what hall it is. It could be some scrungy old mechanics institute at Warwick Nobel. It could be some beautiful auditorium in Glenara. It could be some shanty up at Cooper Pedy. But when God comes, it's holy ground. That's what it is. And you might sense something in this place that you never sensed before. That's just simply God turning up. And it's his beautiful, beautiful presence. And so here he was. Take off your shoes, you know, bushfire threat. Imagine driving thousands and thousands of sheep. He would have had a massive mob of sheep out there in the scrub, and all of a sudden he sees a fire. Man, oh man, if that's not going to put fear into anybody. But then he saw that the fire didn't go out, it kept burning, you know. Moses, but he did more than look. Moses turned aside to look. When he turned aside, the Lord spoke, take off your shoes. You know, sometimes God tries to get our attention, you know. But because of our busy life, because we never take time to be still, because we never take time perhaps to spend time with him, circumstances, things happen, and God's trying to get our attention, but we're so focused over here that we don't see. I wonder what would have happened if Moses had walked on. You see, that was his commissioning. This was what he was born for. This was why God had put him on the planet. He was a murderer. He ran from justice. He was a fugitive in a foreign country. And I suppose he thought, my life's all over. But God came and said, no, I've got things for you to do. There's another little instance here, and again about God breaking through. When I pray for people, I usually say, what's your name? Even if I've been introduced to them, I don't always know, because when I prophesy out of here, not out of here. And so therefore, I don't always know. And I say, what's your name? Because when God speaks to you, he calls you by name, not, hey, you, here, who, He says, calls by name. He said, Moses, Moses. And see how the same principle flows through here. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, and this little boy, young teenager perhaps by now, and I'm not quite sure, he certainly wasn't very old, and his mum had brought him to work in the church full time. And so he ran to Eli. Where am I? How are we going? And so God spoke to him in the night, this little boy. And Eli was the priest. And so Samuel was his name. And God spoke to him, called him by name, and he said, here I am, for you called me. And he said, that's the old priest said, I didn't call you. Lie down again. And he went and he lay down. Then the Lord yet called yet again, Samuel, notice personal. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. He answered, I did not call my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. When the Holy Ghost comes upon people and the Spirit of God falls upon you and you have a desire to be used of God in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, whether it's prophecy, whereas this morning in the gifts of healing and miracles and those things, and God has laid those things upon your heart, the Spirit of God will come upon you, and there can be a physical shaking. There can be some sort of reaction outwardly to the fact that God has placed his hand upon you because he wants to use you to fulfill something that he wants to do, to be a blessing to others. It's not about you, it's about Jesus. It's not about what you feel or don't feel. He's just trying to get through to you. And I can remember in a particular meeting, and I said, Lord, I'd love to prophesy. I'd love to prophesy. Lord, if someone speaks in tongues, I'll speak. And someone spoke in tongues requiring an interpretation, but I was too scared to speak. And so I said, look, let somebody else speak, Lord, in tongues. And somebody else spoke out in tongues, and I was still more game. I'm sorry, Lord. And anyway, Lord, if the third person will speak, then I'll prophesy, I'll speak. And so somebody else spoke out. God was so gracious to me. And anyway, then I remembered speaking out a few words. I don't remember what it was about. It wasn't very much, and I felt a fool afterwards. I said, I'll never do this again. And but you see, what happened was the Spirit of God came upon me, and I was aware of something happening. It doesn't always happen this way, but this very often it does. But that's not the way God's voice speaks or the voice of the Holy Spirit speaks. The voice of the Holy Spirit is in you, and the Holy Spirit communicates with your spirit and prompts you inwardly. There's an inward voice of the Holy Spirit. I remember when Eleanor and I were counseling a young woman, and she was sharing all this stuff, and I'm praying on the inside and saying, Holy Spirit, what's the problem? Holy Spirit, what's the problem? She was talking. And the Spirit of God, I sense inside, say, the occult came very clearly into my heart at another level. See, the Spirit of God is in us. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is with you, but he shall be in you, and he shall lead you into all truth. So there is a voice of the Holy Spirit. I mean, we've got this, there's the outward, but the outward is only to get the inward. Because we've got to learn to tap in to the inward voice of the Holy Spirit. See, I had all this prepared, but the Holy Spirit said, no, I want you to pray for people's backs this morning. That's the bottom line. The preparation is for It's a different thing. The occult. And then I said, Narelle, can you stop a minute? She said, what's wrong, Pastor? I said, have you ever had anything to do with Ouija boards? Yeah, I was into them in school. Oh, yeah. What about fortune tellers and... I go. I suppose you read your horoscopes, do you? Oh, yeah, all the time. Yeah, well, there's your problem. You're believing a demonic spirit. And because you're believing a demonic spirit, okay, that's where your distress, that's where your fear, that's where your sleeplessness and all of those things come from. You don't have to read stars. You don't have to put your faith in blobs of stuff that are moving across the sky when you can come to the God who created it all, hallelujah, who put them there in the first place and all the courses that they take. Okay, you can come to him and he can lead and you guide you. And I remember we prayed for her and God set her free. So the Holy Spirit is within us. And he wants to lead us and guide us. And in this particular case, it says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. Brothers and sisters, may I ask you the question this morning? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? You know, the Bible talks in Ephesians chapter 19, it speaks about a group of people. They were disciples and they hadn't heard if there be a Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Paul prayed for them, laid his hands upon them, and they began to speak in new tongues, and they began to prophesy as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. In my experience, nothing really happened in my life until that had happened to me. And my challenge this morning is, you don't have to worry about it. You just have to be aware that God has got something more for you. And don't settle for less than God's best. Because the Holy Ghost will actually empower you and lead you, and he becomes an inner voice that can lead you and guide you into what the things that God has for you. And it was with me, the word of the Lord was not revealed until that had happened to me. You see, instantly the Lord was speaking, Samuel was hearing, yet not hearing. He answered the wrong person, he went to Eli. Why? Because Samuel did not know the Lord. And you can go to church and it's a buzz. You can be part of a small group even, and it's good fellowship. But you can commit your life to Christ and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and into your life. And that's when you know, without a shadow of a doubt, and you lock in your contact with God, and God can start to direct you into the plans and purposes of that he has for you. And it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus Christ. He died on the cross so that the Holy Ghost could come. And to know is relationship and out of connection. Speak, Lord, for I'm listening. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose. You notice how God doesn't give up? He's not going to give up on you, and he's not going to give up on me. He has a plan and a purpose for your life, and it doesn't matter how long you live. I can remember we're in Cairns, and there was this... one of the secretaries of the church, he was an older man, a Greek guy, and he went away from God and he said, you know, there wasn't one day when God didn't speak to my heart until I came back into fellowship, came back to God. He said, 20 years, not one day. I can remember that, Peter Frankos. He stood up there and I never forgot that. One day. Greatest sadness. I took a funeral the other day and the pastor rang me and said, could you take this funeral? This guy, he led 25 people to Christ and brought them into the church. In fact, he had a whole congregation all in the church. But he was independent, see? And he drifted out. drifted out. And I don't, when I buried him, I don't know where he was with God. But all I know is this, that when you, if the logs are in the fire, and if the logs and you're on fire, and somebody else is on fire, and you work together for Jesus, and that one person's fire keeps you alight, and there's a certain thing about being in fellowship, and I'll tell you what it is, it causes you to stay on fire. If you want to stay on fire, stay in the fire. And that's what being part of the church is all about, see. There are some people, they say, no, I don't need this, I don't need that, and they drift out, and they drift out, and they drift out, but where are they gone? Perhaps ends up in the casino, because no longer are they looking to that, they're looking to this. See, you might not have a lot of that, but I tell you what, when your eyes upon him, you have peace in your heart, and you have a happiness deep within, and you know that you're fulfilling God's will and purpose. Hallelujah. In this beautiful, therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Brothers and sisters, that's a word for each one of us today. Because God will come to you and speak to you. God will challenge you. And we can be too busy. We can do all these other things. Or we can say, speak, Lord. Thy servant hears. From then on, God spoke to Samuel. He never spoke to Eli again. That's the priest of the time. But what he started to share with that young kid in that church out there in the Middle East, it's still recorded in the book today. And a lot of it has still come to pass. You see, when God touches your life, it doesn't rest with you. And it's not all about how I feel. It's your children and your children's children and your children's children's children. There's a whole generational thing here. Because when God touches you, okay, and you're walking with God, and his blessing is upon your life, as I said, you've got them all up there, all of that lot. They're making a difference. Glory to God, you understand? Because Jesus has come into our heart. Jesus has come into our life. The Holy Ghost has been poured out, and there's a plan and a purpose in it all. You understand? That's what it's all about. It's not all about us. Because when we walk with God, once I was young, and now I'm old, but I've never, never seen the righteous forsaken or the seed begging bread, because God is good. You understand? He wants to talk to you. I think I've finished. Speak, Lord, your servant hears. Possible to be around the church if God wants to speak to you personally. You've got to take some time, brothers and sisters. Spend some time. Don't say you're too young or whatever. He was very young. He was maybe a teenager. Others may not understand. They probably won't. Others may not hear what you do, and they probably won't. But there is a personal call by name. May I say to you, get up, wake up, listen and write it down. It's God wants to speak to you. Let's bow in prayer, shall we? Hallelujah. Abba, Father. Lord, we thank you this morning that you've given us the Bible, your word, and we can go there and we can find out who you are, and what you require of us. And Lord, you sent the Holy Ghost to help us become that person. But Lord, today we just pray for each and every one today that, Lord, I pray that they may be connected to you, that they may know you as their personal Savior. God wants to come into your life. God wants to connect with you today. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come in and I will have fellowship with them. Have you received Jesus this morning? Do you know what it is to say, Lord, come into my heart and into my life? I want to be connected with God and connected with his plans and purposes. Just as we bow our head, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart and into your life, behold, he's standing right there now. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone open the door, what do we have to do? We just simply open it and just invite him in. And he'll come in. It's a personal thing. A personal thing. Jesus is knocking at your heart now. Will you let him in today? Will you come to know him? He's calling you by name this morning. Calling you by name. Hallelujah. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, into your life, to give you power to live for God, and you would like to this morning, just slip your hand up and we'll pray with you. Are there others? Most people are saved in this place, eh? Are you in that place this morning? Or do you need to take your shoes off because of the holy ground? Have you stopped having fellowship one way or another? Has something come between you and God? Is there someone you've got to forgive? Yeah, you don't know what they did. Jesus said, forgive us our trespasses and forgive those who trespass against us. Why? That our Heavenly Father may forgive us. Just give you that opportunity just to forgive people today. Put it aside. Lord, I just forgive them, Father. Just let it go. Let it go. Do you want me to do that? I just sense the Lord wants to deal with some unforgiveness here. Let's just all stand quietly. Just all stand quietly in his presence. We'll just close in a minute. Just close. Amen. If there are people that you feel have not treated you right, and you've got every right to feel that way, I just sense the Lord wants to deal with that right now. He wants to give you a forgiving spirit. He wants to enable you to say, I forgive you. I let it go. I just want you to hold one hand out in front of you with your fists clenched right now. The Bible says, bless those that despitefully use you. Yes, we've all been despitefully used. Lord, in Jesus' name, we just bring this person before you and we pray for your grace be poured out upon us. And just imagine right now that that person is there, that hurt and that pain is in your hand. And let's just say, Lord, I forgive. All together, Lord, I forgive. Let's all say it loudly. Lord, I forgive. And as we do, open your hand and let that go. Lord, we just believe your angels are coming now and they're just gathering those things up. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, they're lost in the sea of God's forgetfulness. And Father, now I pray for the peace of God that passeth all understanding will just touch each heart and life right now. Oh God, we pray that that'll not come back, but rather, Lord, forgiveness will flow. In Jesus' precious name. And when we see this person, we'll at least be able to say hello in the lovely name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.